A reading from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God." A reading from Revelation chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. And his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God." In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. At the close of the divine service, I put either two hands in the air, or one on my heart and the other in the air, and I chant the benediction over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Right at the end there, you notice I retrace the Lord's triune name over you once more. Just like we began this series, and just as the divine service on Sunday morning begins, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I inscribe the fullness of the salvation found in your baptism one more time before service ends and you go out into the world. And you're invited to make the sign of the cross whenever you see a little plus sign in your bulletin or hymnal. Usually it accompanies the triune name. To cross yourself and receive that blessing again and again, to retrace his blessing on your body. This is another example of what I talk about when I talk about making the service and your lives more sacramental. When I say sacramental, I mean using God's words and applying them and their benefits to your life and your bodies in ways, in more ways that your senses can grasp. And so something like making the sign of the cross on yourself engages not only your hearing when you hear the words, but also your touch, movement, feeling, even your eyes as you notice others or myself crossing themselves. And this is applying God's word, the promise that he makes in his blessings to your own body, to hear, to feel, to see. Much like how we touch water in baptism or taste in the Lord's Supper. These words Just like all the others found in our liturgy, they're drawn directly from the scriptures. Specifically, this one is from the Old Testament book of Numbers. It's kind of like, side stories from the book of Exodus, think of it. Or like, it's like Law and Order for the book of Exodus. Little stories on the side. So God tells Moses, as the Hebrews are wandering in the wilderness, he tells them, speak to Aaron and his sons. In this way, you will bless the people of Israel. You'll say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And he says, so shall they put my name upon the people of Israel. They being the priests, Aaron, sometimes Moses, right? Later, pastors. Later, moms and dads putting their kids to bed. So in this way shall they put my name on the people, and I will bless them. It's quite lovely. This means that God's words are more than just words. God doesn't just want us to speak them. Instead, they actually impart his blessing. They're doing something. They're hoping to catch hold on you. Sometimes it's through the mouth and hands of pastor, where pastor will place God's triune name on you throughout the service, you who receive them. I encourage you to trace this name onto your spouse before you go to bed, or your kids or your grandkids, whoever you want to hug close. You can impart God's blessing by imparting his name onto them, blessing them. And when you receive God's name, you also receive his blessing and his salvation all once more. It's funny how God literally gives us these words right from heaven. And it's wonderful because it's a practical tool. You can put his name on people. And what that does is, I've spoken a lot about marking God's name on people, but what does it do? It marks people as his. It's like writing your name on your favorite sweater or like your favorite hammer or something. It's so that other people don't think it's theirs, right? You write your name on your thing. And that means that when the devil and God fight over you, the devil can try and say, well, God, if he's yours, why don't I see your name on him? But God can say again and again, my glorious name is right there. It's right there. And he'll point at your forehead. This is seen in a glimpse of heaven in Revelation. We read it tonight. John is shown the river of the water of life, which, yes, it's both God's word that gives life as we drink in it deeply. It's also baptism, which flows from the throne of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which is this altar, which is the cross. But that tree of life that it mentions growing in the water, the cross, the life-giving tree, it remains there because it yields fruit for all the faithful who pick from it in due season, or as the ESV puts it, each month. God continues to provide. All evil is gone. The night is no more. And I like the note that no lamp or sun is needed. Why? Because the Lamb is the light of the city of God. Now you bear God's name on your forehead as you behold his face. That's the image from Revelation. You stand right in front of God and you behold him, and you bear his name on your forehead. Because the benediction is an anticipation. So when I bless you with the benediction at the end of the service, it is an anticipation of living in the very presence of Jesus Christ. Whether when we die and depart and be with him, or if he returns and is with us. It's practice for being before the very face or countenance. Being before the very face, the countenance of God himself. He makes his face to shine upon you and is gracious to you. And he's not just like that in heaven. He is gracious to you and his face shines upon you in this place, in these pews, at this altar, in this font, in your homes. God writes his name in very specific places. It's no graffiti. It is his holy name. And he marks his name and says, "This is mine," on his temple at Jerusalem, in the tabernacle, in the wilderness. He marks it with his holy name. "This is mine. I am here." God's name is powerful. We've talked many times about how the name of God is literally, "I am. I am." And it's supposed to be funny, because when he talks about being "I am," it means all of those other gods, like the ones in Egypt, they are not. It's a name of power. And so being near his holy name is being near the very essence of life, power itself. A tree planted near streams of water, like Psalm 1 says. And so, in baptism, you are marked with God's holy name because you are the temple of his Holy Spirit. That's why his name is on your forehead. For the same reason it's on the temple and the tabernacle. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit chose to dwell in you forever for the sake of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the day you were baptized. And now because of that, we know that God is always near us because we bear his name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. His name is right there. We trace it on ourselves. You trace it over the grooves of where his finger first traced his name and signed it at your baptism. And because his name was written on you in baptism, now it's where you look so that you can know. It's called assurance. You can look to your baptism. That is where God carved his name in me. I have everlasting life. God made good on his promise to save by water in his holy name. He is here. Martin Luther wrote in his large catechism, "Where God's name is, there must also be life and salvation." And so, God's chosen servant for his church, one of many pastors, whoever it is that day, will impart God's name and with it life and salvation on you continually throughout the service, in hospital rooms, in delivery rooms, in houses, all sorts of places. God's holy name will continue to be traced on you as you enter church and as you go out into the world. The benediction. Since the first century, the divine service ended with some sort of blessing or benediction, for it literally means a good word. And so Martin Luther asked, if we're doing a benediction or a blessing, Why don't we just use the one that the Lord himself wrote, the one from the book of Numbers? And so we started doing this one. And it's probably the scriptural blessing that Jesus Christ himself used as he raised his hands and blessed the disciples and through them blessed the whole church as he ascended into heaven. If you've ever wondered what hand sign I'm making when I bless you, don't fret. I'm about to explain it to you. And you'll have to explain it to whoever asks you in the future. All right? So I'm making the traditional Christian hand sign of blessing. I'm spelling with my fingers the first and last letters of each of the Greek words for Jesus Christ. So, Jesus, I, S, Christos, X, S. Jesus Christos. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. And there's no more fitting of a name to bless you with. There's no more fitting of a name at which every knee will bow, because this name of Jesus Christ is the name alone that can carve a blessing into human flesh forever. The benediction's first line gives God's blessing and protection to you. The second shows his favor toward you because you are his beloved son, his beloved daughter. And the final line extends his own peace to you, for he is pleased with you. You bear his name. It's written on your forehead. The benediction is God's words. God always gets the last word of his divine service, because he alone is our gracious host, each week, week in, week out. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Please join me in the doxology found on page 805.
Son and Holy.